Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first Inside Education with Shane Phipps podcast. This is the first of what I hope to be many podcasts to accompany my brand new blog, inside-education.org. That's inside with a hyphen, education.org, which I started about, 9 days ago now. And I have been absolutely blown away by how well that's been received already. I can't even express to you how amazed I am at how many people have visited and read the articles I've been writing there. It's been beyond belief, actually. Approaching 70,000 now, I believe, visitors to that blog. So I thought it would be good to have a podcast to accompany that from time to time. And this is the very first one. And today we're going to be talking about the Red for Ed movement, and in particular this Red for Ed Action Day that is planned for Tuesday, November 19th, outside of the State House in downtown Indianapolis. This phenomenon has been absolutely incredible to watch happening over the last couple of weeks. The amount of school systems that have closed in support of this to allow teachers to go is inspiring and amazing. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the reasons why this demonstration is so necessary and probably well overdue. I'll kind of condense down many of the points I've been writing about into a podcast form here. We'll cover some of those points that I've been trying to put out there for the general public to learn, because I don't think the general public understands what this crisis is about and how bad it is. So we're going to get into all that. Thank you again for joining me. But first, before we get started, let's take a moment and hear this word from our sponsor, Anchor. All right, so let's talk about Red for Ed. If you live in Indiana and you haven't been living under a rock, and you've been on social media or been watching the news coverage, you know what Red for Ed is. At least you've heard of it. And you know that there's going to be this Red for Ed Action Day on Tuesday, November 19th, down at the State House, where thousands of teachers and friends of public education will be gathering for a demonstration, a rally, to be heard, to lay out the facts about what is killing public education, and that something has got to be done, something drastic has to be done, and soon, to save us, to save the education of 90% of our state's students who attend public school. Now, it's been unbelievably inspiring and just incredible to watch this movement swell into this phenomenon that we're seeing now. The last count I had as of an hour ago or so, when I checked, there were 137 school districts in the state of Indiana who have called off classes for the 19th. Many, if not most, of the state's largest school districts have done so, all in a show of support for this movement, for this urgent call to action to fix this problem so that teachers can be freed to go down and take part in this. The last count I had, there were well over 13,000 of Indiana's teachers who have registered officially through the ISTA to attend And I know for a fact that there are a lot of other teachers planning to attend who have not registered. I would not be surprised at all if there aren't 20,000 or more people outside the State House wearing red on Tuesday the 19th. Now, what is it about? What is it? Why is it necessary? Some people are going to push back with ignorance and say, oh, these teachers are ungrateful. Indiana pays an average salary to teachers of $54,000 a year, and they only work 180 days. What in the world do they have to complain about? Well, first of all, that $54,000 a year figure is completely misleading and useless, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. And that implication is insulting because the Red for Ed Action Day rally is not about teacher pay. Is teacher pay a factor in all this? Certainly it is, because it's a problem. But it's just a symptom. It's a symptom of a devastating disease that has ravaged public education in Indiana and across the country as well. It's just one of many symptoms, one of many causes. Let's start with vouchers. Public tax dollars being given to parents so that they can pull their children out of public schools and place them into private schools, even religious-based private schools. How that is not considered unconstitutional is beyond me. I don't see any other way to say it. It is unconstitutional. It flies in the face of the Establishment Clause, where we get the idea of separation of church and state from the First Amendment. You cannot put public tax dollars into a religious private institution. I don't see any other way to say it. Yet it's done. And every time a student is taken from a public school and placed into a private school with these vouchers, those public schools lose thousands of dollars. What's more, those private schools are not required to provide full services for students who need them, such as special education services. Did you know that even when a public school student is removed from their school by use of vouchers to place them into a private religious school, that the public school is still responsible for providing those services that the private school cannot provide? It is true. Did you know that? Well, you do now. It's incredible that this goes on, but it does. So, what about the teacher pay issue? Indiana has an average salary of $54,000 for teachers. That might be so on paper using just basic math, but it does not tell an accurate picture, and it is a useless statistic because years ago, the state of Indiana took away our graduated pay scales, where a new teacher would start at, let's say, $32,000, and every year they could look on this chart and see that they were going to jump in pay $2,000-$3,000 a year, and they could see up to the top of the scale, which would be 20 or 25 years, that if they just stuck with it, they could make a comfortable living as they graduate up that pay scale. Well, in their infinite wisdom, Indiana took that away, and now teachers get no money, no raise, year after year, because their ability to be paid a raise is totally dependent on how their students perform on these unfair, ridiculous standardized tests that, by the way, more than half of Indiana's students failed, did not pass last year's ILEARN test. More than half did not pass. So, who's going to get raises in this scenario? Well, teachers who work in districts with very low poverty rates, with two-parent households, affluent neighborhoods, you know, not a lot of daily trauma at home. Students or schools that are rich with those kind of kids, they're going to do pretty well on these tests regardless, right? Their teachers are going to get paid a decent raise based on the convoluted formula that figures all of that nonsense in and says you're effective or highly effective. Congratulations. Now, who's not going to get paid? Well, teachers in school districts that are ravaged by poverty, drugs, lots of households that have parents in jail for drug trafficking or abuse, kids who are on restraining orders from their parents, kids who are dealing with daily trauma that they bring to school with them from home. These kids, schools that are loaded with those kind of kids, they're not going to score highly on those tests. Yet, the teachers who work there perform daily miracles with those kids. To get them to sit down and learn anything under the circumstances that they live in is a great accomplishment. Those kids are fed, they're kept safe, and they are provided for, and they are educated. Are they educated to the point where they can clear the same bar as those kids who live in the relatively, comparatively trauma-free, affluent areas? Probably not. Can they show the growth that those kids do, though? Maybe. My point here is those teachers that work, and God bless them for working in those environments, because it is beyond challenging. Those teachers will go year after year after year without getting any raise. So, in this scenario, let me assure you that there are excellent, more than highly effective teachers who are not labeled effective or highly effective and are not eligible for raises, teaching in schools like I just described all over the state, in poor rural areas and in the inner cities alike. And there are teachers that phone it in, I'm sure, that teach in these schools that cruise along because of their clientele being somewhat privileged, who are going to qualify for their raises all the time. Is this a fair system? This is one of the reasons we're going to be down there on Tuesday, November 19th. Now back to that $54,000 a year question. Because of what I just explained, no graduated pay scale, going year after year after year without a raise. There are new teachers who have taught less than 5 or 6 years, say, who are still hovering right around that entry-level pay. Depending on where you're at, that could be as low as maybe $30,000. In my own building, I was grandfathered in. I got up that pay scale before they took it away to a point where I was making a comfortable living. So this didn't affect me as much as it did a younger teacher. So my point here is, my salary being significantly higher than the state average skews that number way too high, because there are teachers that are doing the same job I am in my building who are making $25,000 to $30,000 less than me every year. That's a problem. That's why that $54,000 a year average is bogus. Because I'm going to be eligible to retire in about 6 years, lots of other teachers in my situation are approaching that retirement age. When we dinosaurs start to go away, off into our retirement sunset, that $54,000 is going to plummet. Plummet. And you'll see the real picture at that point. So let's throw that average salary right out the window and call it what it is. Now, all of this leads to the biggest crisis in my mind, far above any of this other stuff, and that's the incredibly urgent teacher shortage. I just talked to you about a lot of teachers my age were getting ready to step aside. We already have young teachers who cannot handle the situation we're in and are leaving the profession barely after having gotten started by the thousands. We have schools of education in all of our universities that are dwindling down to next to nothing. Very few people going into education to replace us that are going out. And then what makes that worse is the state of Indiana has made it ridiculously difficult for a new teacher to become licensed. They have to take a battery of ridiculously difficult tests. Most of them have dismal pass rates. These tests cost anywhere between $100 and $200 to take. There are $40 and $50 study guide manuals, electronic manuals that you purchase along with this to study and get ready for these tests. Those study guides actually expire after you've taken the test. So if you fail the test, you have to not only pay for a second test or a third or a fourth or a fifth, you also have to buy a new study guide manual. The reason these tests are so ridiculously obscure and difficult to pass is because they're wanting extra money. They can get you to take that test four or five, six times. They're sitting pretty, these companies that produce these tests. In the meantime, you're driving out a ton of potential teachers from an already shrunk down pool of applicants. I'm telling you right now, if something's not done, a drastic change is not made, there aren't going to be enough teachers to cover anywhere near the need within the next few years. We're already short. 94% of Indiana school districts report not being able to fill all the positions they need to fill. 94%. Try to get a substitute. We have teachers covering for other teachers in their prep periods. We have classes being split. When a teacher is out, half their kids go to one class, half their kids go to another, increasing the stress loads of those teachers that have to take on these extra kids just to cover for a colleague who is out sick. It is terrible and getting worse by the day. I'm telling you, education, public education, as we know it, will not survive this if something's not done. If you don't have teachers, you don't have public education. Now, some of you might say, well, my kid's in private school. How does this affect me? Remember, I just said 90% of Indiana students go to public schools. When those schools can no longer staff enough teachers to teach those kids, where are they going to go? 90% of our state's students, where are they going to go? Some of them might be coming knocking on your charter school or your private school door. What you going to do then? Believe me, your little shiny test score results and your gaudy graduation numbers, if you start getting some of that 90% of public school students coming through, good luck keeping those up. Catching my drift? Do you see how this is not just about teacher pay, folks? I don't know how to make it any more plain. we have a crisis. We've been, people like myself have been screaming about it for years, warning about it. Seems to have fallen mostly on deaf ears, except for those who are insiders, like myself. It's here. It's in your face now. We have got to do something about it. We've got to get to the attention of the people in the State House, or we have to get new people in the State House. The storm is here, and it's gaining strength, and we better do something. That is what Red for Ed and this Action Day on Tuesday, November 19th, is all about. Don't let anybody tell you different. We have a tremendous crisis on our hands. Thank you for listening. Again, check out inside-education.org and follow that blog to get all my thoughts on what's going down in public education. Thanks for listening.